The reaction was shock.
They chose to come in and break the door down.
Like SWAT team style.
The rifles held up, you know, they're ready, I mean, fingers on the trigger, all that stuff.
The police have used force in an aggressive manner that was not needed.
There's no reason for a militarized raid on a smoke shop.
On May 7th, 2014, this smoke shop in tiny Alpine, Texas was raided by law enforcement for the fourth time in 3 years. But this time was different, because the DEA was in charge, as part of the Obama administration's Project Synergy Phase 2, a national day of raids meant to take down purveyors of synthetic drugs who then funnel cash to Middle Eastern terror groups. Alana Lipson, the Purple Zone's owner, a 29-year-old Jewish woman and self-professed supporter of Israel, was shocked to learn she was a target of the federal government, but she soon realized it was local law enforcement that had put her on the DEA's hit list. The Purple Zone enjoys a loyal following among college students, but is a lightning rod for some of the town's more culturally conservative residents.
You either really, really love me and you like what I do, or you really hate me. There's no in between. I've been called a dirty kike. I've been asked where my horns were. I've been told to go back to Jew York. I've had people come into my store and tell me my store was fucked up, that I was poisoning the youth of the town, even though I have a big sign that says 18 plus. I mean, the bars here in Alpine don't even have ID scanners, and I have an ID scanner.
With a population of a little more than 5,000, Alpine is quite literally in the middle of nowhere, more than 200 miles from El Paso and 75 miles from Mexico, making it a natural home for a great many in law enforcement, including federal agencies like the DEA and the Border Patrol. Even Sul Ross State University, the town's signature institution, hosts a law enforcement academy. In 2012, the Purple Zone was raided by the Alpine PD for the first time. They came looking for evidence that Alana was selling spice or synthetic drugs, which Alana sells as potpourri in the incense section of her store.
10 to 12 men, like SWAT team style, came in, started tearing through everything, and arrested me, arrested my mother.
So your mother's never been an employee here, and she's not a co-owner of the store,
No. And
she has made no investment in the store,
No. But
they arrested her as well.
Yes.
And she's still under indictment.
Yes. They claim chemically that the chemicals are MAM-2201, XLR-11, and PB-22.
The chemical makeup of potpourri varies by the manufacturer, but these three chemicals were not illegal in the state of Texas at the time. However, the Controlled Substance Analog Enforcement Act affords law enforcement the power to prosecute possession of substances similar to controlled substances. There is no clear policy on how one determines whether a chemical is an analog of a banned substance, which makes avoiding running afoul of this law difficult.
You can buy these products online. You can buy these products at any gas station, any convenience store. I mean, all the stuff that I bought, I know was legal. It always came with a lab report, you know, it's legal in Texas. It was legal federally. There was no issue with it. It was always marked not for human consumption.
Lacking the budget for further lab tests, Alpine's district attorney Rod Ponton went before the Brewster County Board of Commissioners, pleading for thousands of dollars in additional funding. He was refused. Out of resources, but intent on proving Alana's criminality, he would find a willing partner in the DEA, an agency without his budget constraints. The Obama administration's Project Synergy Phase 2 launched raids all over the country on May 7, 2014. Led by the DEA and armed with a Brewster County search warrant, members of the Border Patrol, Department of Homeland Security, Brewster County Sheriff's Office, and the Alpine PD stormed the Purple Zone. Local businessman Tom Cochran took pictures of the scene.
Well, when I got there, I got some pictures of the DEA agents actually coming out. I got pictures of the door that was broken. After they left, I got pictures of how they ransacked the inside and turned off the security cameras. There's broken glass all over the floor. There's blood on the ground from where one of the agents had apparently cut himself on his way in after they'd broken the door down. The next day, I also got a picture of Ariel Lipson's injuries as well.
During the raid, Alana's sister, Ariel, was placed under arrest for assaulting a DEA agent, who she claims pinned her to the ground with the butt of a rifle.
So I put the pictures up on Facebook, and everything was fine for about 24 hours, and then everybody kind of flipped out. I mean, I was having all kinds of folks, relatives of officers involved, people with the police department, all kinds of folks wanting me to take the pictures down. Rod Ponton, the district attorney, he asked me to take them down. He told me the pictures were inaccurate, and I told him that, you know, they're pictures. They can't be inaccurate. They were just reflections of what happened there. He said I was being inflammatory, and, you know, I think that the public got a right to know what's going on in the community.
Days later, Alana was arrested for violating a little-known federal law prohibiting the purchase of ammunition while under indictment. But before she could bail herself out of jail, she was presented with a bond document requiring her to recant statements she had made to the media accusing the DEA of assaulting her sister. The document also compelled her to ask Tom Cochran to remove the photos of the raid from his Facebook page.
We were so shocked, we took a picture of it and put it online so people could actually see the handwriting of the officials. This is what you're going to say to get your bond. You have the government forcing someone who they're trying to prosecute into essentially confessing before they can get a bond. I mean, that's unconstitutional.
I did refuse to take them down. And then Alana, as soon as she was released from federal detention, she came immediately to my shop before she'd gone anywhere else and came up, gave me a big hug and thanked me for not taking them down and said that the whole deal was coerced and she didn't want to have to sign it. But they told her she was going to sit in jail and her business was going to rot until she signed the paperwork. So she was really under duress when it happened.
Still, the Border Patrol Union and the Sheriff's Department posted Alana's coerced apology to their Facebook pages, and Rod Ponton personally rebuked the Alpine Avalanche's reporting of the raid.
Well, the DA did come to the paper, and he wanted to talk to me about what was wrong with my article. He said specifically he was not there to threaten me, which is an odd thing to hear from the DA. Rather, he was emphasizing that I didn't seem to understand how bad synthetic drugs were. At one point, Ponton told me the problem with the story was that I had tried to tell both sides. In his opinion, the Lipsons were not credible sources. And at that point, the DA told me that he had contacted the paper's owners. The owner edited and rewrote much of the follow-up story that ran the week after, where we had tried to tell both sides of the story the first time. It was the law enforcement version of the story that was given the second time. It had been so heavily edited, and so many hands had touched it, that I had asked that my byline be removed, and that didn't happen. The Alpine Avalanche and all of the papers owned by that same parent company include a tagline, "Thank a veteran, a member of our armed services, or a law enforcement officer every day."
Ponton declined our request for an interview, but released a statement declaring that the Alpine PD had seized spice from the Purple Zone in previous raids, which he blamed for an Alpine resident stealing a car and killing himself while high on a drug that is, quote, worse than meth, similar to cocaine, meth, or heroin.
All of the products that they seized in the 2014 raid came back from the labs as being negative of anything. No substances were found. They were all herbs. People would always come in and ask me the strangest questions, like, can I smoke this in a pipe? Or, you know, just, you know, will this get me really high? And, you know, and I'd immediately look at these people and I'd be like, you need to get out of my store. I really think that I probably threw out more people than I sold to.
Now we've seen from documents provided by the district attorney that there were dozens of attempted DEA buys,
yes,
of what they thought were controlled substances, but which turned up nothing.
Right. The list said, you know, DEA buy on all the different dates. And all the things that they bought were either kratom or tobacco alternative herbs that, you know, came in bags. And so, yeah, they harassed me a lot.
Alana traces the relentless hostility from law enforcement back to when she first arrived in Alpine as an 18-year-old equine science major at Sul Ross University. A mutual acquaintance introduced Alana to a local lawyer who shared her interest in Arabian horses. His name was Rod Ponton.
He had invited me to meet his horses, you know, at his house and possibly work with them, you know, so I thought, oh, job opportunity, you know, this is great. He asked me if I wanted to drink some wine, and of course I said yes. You know, a bottle of wine later, I was a little tipsy, and one thing led to another, and I was involved sexually with him that one time. And before that, he said, you know, you've made such a nice breakthrough with these horses, do you want these horses? The few times after that, it was just kind of, hey, you know, let's sign the papers over to me, and really never responded back to his phone calls. You know, I was really disgusted with myself. And I remember being outside on my property and seeing his car drive by really slowly, you know, it was almost like as if he was stalking me. I mean, that was so many years ago, and I didn't really think that not calling someone back would get me into all this trouble.
Rod Ponton was elected Alpine's district attorney in 2012, and since that time has crusaded against the Purple Zone. In one court motion, he referred to Alana's singular incorrigibility and accused her of poisoning the youth of the town.
I mean, she wasn't breaking the law. As the test had proven, she wasn't doing anything wrong. And they just chose this stance, I mean, just to prove a point. And I think that's really a troubling thing for, you know, I mean, not just here in Alpine, but in our society in general. We see it all over. Yeah, there's no reason for a militarized raid on a smoke shop. I mean, this is something they could have handled in a non-confrontational, non-violent fashion. And they chose to come in and break the door down. I mean, I've seen the security footage, and they're coming in action movie style. The main reason I took the pictures and didn't back down on this, because I just feel like it's something that needs to be documented and needs to be out in the public sphere. And there has to be a discussion on this.
In September, the federal government dismissed all charges against Alana and her sister from the 2014 raid. But Alana pled guilty to state charges of felony possession of a controlled substance. In exchange for her plea, the charges against her mother were dropped. And as a deferred adjudication, the case goes away without a conviction if Alana completes probation. Why would Alana plead guilty to selling controlled substances that were not illegal at the time of her arrest? Perhaps to save her mother and sister from prison. Perhaps to avoid prison herself. Perhaps because fighting these charges has cost her more than $100,000 in legal fees and lost property. As part of the plea agreement, Alana is free to leave Alpine, which she plans to do as soon as possible.
Made a lot of good friends here, love the area, it's beautiful, but it's become toxic. I never wanted to aggravate anybody. I mean, I don't do this for fun. This isn't a hobby. This is how I make my money. This is how I support myself. This is how I live.
And any freedom-loving person needs to take pause and say, could this happen to me if I was unpopular? I mean, yes, you have a business that's unpopular with a certain segment of the community, and that shouldn't cause a bias as far as your freedom is concerned. Nobody has the ability to fight the government for too long.